It's week 11 of the 2025 college football season, and it is time for us to discuss all the games that are happening on weeknights this week.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. You guys should know this by now. If you're watching and you have not subscribed, fix it. Do that. Do that thing. Subscribe to the channel, like the video if you would so kindly. And yeah, let's get to this thing. All right, quick record recap, just so you guys know where we are. Went 5-4 against the spread in the midweek games last week. Went 6-4 against the spread in the big games. And then 9-9 against the number in the other games, my 18 more video that I put out. So that puts us now 20-17 against the spread overall last week on the picks on the show. 159, 158, and 1 against the spread overall thus far. We start this week on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on CBS Sports Network. UMass heading to Akron. That's right, we got some action with a brand new MAC team. Of course, a lot of you are not going to be used to seeing UMass playing with a MAC logo on their jerseys, but that's what you're going to see on Tuesday night in Akron, Ohio. Akron is a 10-point favorite, up to about 10.5, depending on the book. Total of 48.5 to 49.5. Akron 2-2 against the spread at home. They beat Buffalo last week at home. So, big win. That's Buffalo's only loss in the MAC. UMass, their secondary is completely decimated. They are 0-4 on the year, 0-8, but they are 2-6 against the spread. But those two against the spread wins, one of them was on the road when they were a 40-something point underdog. But they're 0-2 against the spread on the road in the MAC, and that's what's important here. So that number, I mean, that again, the UMass secondary just completely decimated. They are, this is a bad, bad football team. 10 to 10.5 is a bit of a stretch, right? Now, my last four stats have actually got UMass favored here, which is very interesting. Power rating, I've got Akron by 6.9. Projected stats and spread has got it favored by 7.24. I think that the injuries and whatnot may have pushed this quite a bit, but UMass is getting completely trounced whenever they go on the road. It's by an average of like 28 points per game. I mean, it's really, really rough, which is why, even though the stats and the projections say that this should be about a 7.5-point spread, They've got this thing up to 10.5. There's not a lot that I can find that would separate these two teams very much. You look at pace of play, Akron number 87, UMass number 79, but UMass is so inefficient on offense. Number 134 in PPA per pass, number 129 in PPA per rush, and the Akron defense is actually okay against the pass, and they're decent against the run, number 37 in stuff rate, but they're number 113 in offensive line yards allowed. You know, UMass is number 39 in rushing explosiveness. I'm curious about that. I guess it's easy to be explosive when your rushing success rate is number 134. So if all of your other plays are just nothing, then it's easy to have an explosive play every now and then, considering you aren't going to run it all that much anyway. And so, because they only run the ball, let's see, 41% of the time. That's number 125 in the country in rush rate. Five factors rank, Akron is number 118, UMass number 134. It is just disgusting looking at these. First half point margin, Akron number 125, UMass number 132. There is not a lot that separates these two teams. However, with the way that UMass has been playing and Akron actually showing a bit of life here lately. The only way that I could go is Akron, and if the best number that I can get is 10, I'll take the Zips as a home fave. Akron minus 10 is the play. Action game number two on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. Miami of Ohio heads to Ohio. In Ohio, the Bobcats are a 3.5-point home favorite, total of 49.5 to 50.5. Miami, 2-0 against the spread on the road in the MAC thus far. Ohio is 2-0 against the spread at home. The winner of this game is going to lead the MAC. Right now, Miami is undefeated in conference play. Ohio already won loss, and that was at Ball State, which was such an interesting, potentially fluky spot. Last 4 weeks, I've got Ohio favored by 1.21. Power rating, I've got Ohio by 5. And then projected stat spread, I've got Ohio by 5.16. Ohio number 55 in PPA margin, Miami number 59. The Miami offense is not great overall, but they've certainly been better in MAC play. Strength of schedule, Miami number 113, Ohio number 44. Ohio a significantly stronger strength of schedule than what the Red Hawks have played thus far. Miami number 4 in special teams efficiency. Ohio is number 135. That is a debacle if I've ever seen one. Miami with a talent edge here by about 31 spots. Number 90 in on 3 overall talent rank. Ohio number 121. So if this line should be about 5 based on what the stats have been thus far this season and you're looking at current strength of schedule, etc., and yet the line is only 3.5, like I kind of get it because Miami waits until conference play to show up, right? Chuck Martin has always done that. Miami's offensive success overall on the season, not great, number 67. They're not great passing the football, but they are pretty good running it. Ohio, kind of the opposite. Number 47 in passing success rate, number 84 rushing the football. And the defense for Miami of Ohio, actually pretty good against the pass. Number 31 in PPA allowed per pass, number 18 in yards allowed per pass attempt. That's going to be interesting for Ohio to be able to do anything. Stopping the run, number 94 in rush success rate allowed. But they are number 46 in yards allowed per rush. Their issue is number 109 in PPA allowed per rush. That has a lot to do with whether or not teams are scoring. Miami, number 127 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. If you allow teams to run the football on you down in the red zone, that's going to happen. Looking at points per scoring opportunity, Ohio, really good at getting down into the opponent 40, you know, getting a first down inside the opponent 40. They're number 8 in scoring opportunities per game, but they're number 95 in points per scoring opportunity, so they don't finish drives well. Ohio, on the other hand, number 63 in points per scoring opportunity, but they don't get down there much. Number 97 in scoring opportunities per game. The Ohio defense is number 10 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. So if neither one of these defenses is going to give up a ton of scoring drives, this feels like it's going to be down to the wire, right? Five factors rank, five factors plus talent rank. Ohio number 67, Miami number 66. This is going to be a tight, tight ball game. I know Ohio's at home. I understand that. But Miami always plays well in MAC games. Let's go with the dog. 3.5 feels like a little too much. This should be about a field goal line. I feel like it could go either way. If I'm getting more than a field goal, I'll take that. Give me the Red Hawks plus 3.5.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostsleeves.com.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Check out these spreadsheets. Of course, you can get one for every single FBS versus FBS game every single week. Just become a member at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures, or the easy URL is bettingcfb.com. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year, whichever you would like to do, but it supports this one-man show here. All right, we move to Wednesday action, and we've got Kent State going to Ball State. And Kent State, of course, announced that they are hiring Matt Carney full-time as their head coach. They are removing the interim tag, and he has done some pretty awesome things there. Pretty awesome. Kent State, 5-2 against the spread in their last seven games. The road schedule has just been absolutely brutal for these guys. And yet, you know, they've kind of held their own. They've gotten just demolished against some really difficult teams. Ball State is a 2.5-point favorite here with a total of 46-46.5. This one's 6 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, of course, on ESPNU. My stats projected spread has Ball State favored by 0.69 points. Nice. You guys know it. You got to say it. You got to say it. Power rating has got Kent State by 1.3. My last 4 weeks' numbers have Kent State favored by almost 5 points. Now, here's the interesting thing. Ball State is 3-0 against the spread at home this year. That does include an upset of Ohio. Last year, Ball State won this game 37-35 on the road. They have won 3 straight against Kent State. Kent State, difficult strength of schedule, number 13. Current strength of schedule, Ball State, number 84. Ball State is so much better at home than they are on the road. I mean, it is not even close. They are 5-3 against the spread, 3-5 straight up on the season. That 5-3, they are. The fact that this is only their fourth home game is kind of interesting. Regardless, they're awful everywhere else. They do at least cover numbers, but you start looking at these two teams, overall talent rank number 132 and number 131, special teams efficiency number 127, number 124. Five factors rank, Ball State 132, Kent State number 125. First half point margin, Ball State 131, Kent State 136. I mean, you're not going to find a whole lot of difference between these two teams. Turnover margin, Kent State better at not giving it away. They're number 30 in giveaways per game. Ball State is number 85. But you're looking at number 90 in turnover margin and number 103 in turnover margin, with Kent State being the higher rated team. Ball State number 14 in penalties per game. Kent State number 60 in that. You start looking at points per scoring opportunity. The Ball State defense is number 67. Kent State offense number 104. Ball State offense is number 128 in points per scoring opportunity. Kent State defense is number 109. There's not a lot of difference between the two. The only difference that I'm seeing is that Ball State plays way above their heads at home. Kent State does not play that well on the road. Granted, it's been a much more difficult road slate than most teams should have to deal with. And this Kent State team is as much fun as it's been to bet on them. You need to be betting on them at home, it feels like. Or the number has to be just massive. I'm going to go with the team that plays best at home and who is at home on a Wednesday night. Give me the Cardinals. I will take Ball State minus 2.5. That's the best number we can get right now. I think Ball State ends up pulling this one out. They continue the streak. Game number 4, 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. and the Northern Illinois Huskies, who have just been atrocious this year. They head to Toledo, and Toledo is a 14-14.5 point home favorite. Total is 41.5 on this. And this is normally the spot where I start talking about Jason Candle, right? Toledo was lost outright 3 of their last 7 as a double-digit favorite against MAC competition. But you start looking back through that, and all of those were on the road. They have covered 4 straight as a double-digit home favorite. Northern Illinois, they did cover last week at home against Ball State, 21-7. But before that, they had failed to cover in 5 straight games. So the power rating that I've got has Toledo by 13.7, so almost 2 touchdowns. The fact that there's a 14 out here lets me know that there are people that are a little anti-Jason Candle in this spot, and I understand that. My projected stat spread has Toledo by almost 17 points. Last 4 weeks, I've got Toledo by 14.5. Yes, all of this makes perfect sense when you really get down to it. Toledo is number 8 in the country in PPA margin, that's predicted points added margin, and their defense is the main reason why. Number 2 in the country in PPA allowed per drive. Northern Illinois, number 123 in PPA margin. Their offense, number 132 in PPA per drive. That, again, predicted points added. That is a metric that basically assigns a point value to every play that you've made on the field. Number 135 in offensive success rate for NIU. Toledo, number 10 in defensive success rate. I don't know what NIU is going to do when they've got the football. I don't know how they score. You look at 5 factors rank, number 56 for Toledo, number 127 for NIU. First half point margin, number 14 for Toledo, NIU number 93. Second half point margin, Toledo number 60, NIU number 126. It is a massive, massive difference. Toledo is actually 5-3 against the spread this year. NIU is 2-6. I mean, it's just not gone well whatsoever for Thomas Hammack and company. Big difference here in penalties per game and turnover margin. Toledo, number 127 in the country in penalties per game. NIU is number 16. So let's keep an eye on that. Let's see exactly what that looks like. But turnover margin, Toledo, number 22. They're number 30 in giveaways per game, number 32 in takeaways per game. NIU, number 81 in turnover margin. They're number 65 in giveaways per game and number 80 in takeaways per game. So let's pay attention and see what happens with the turnovers and whatnot. Special teams efficiency, both are outside the top 100. Overall talent rank, I mean, you're looking at a 40-point or 40-ranking differential. Toledo, number 84. NIU, number 125. Again, the 5 factors rank, all that good stuff. I know this is a big number at 14-14.5. I get the feeling that Toledo is just going to lay the wood here. Typically, I'm not going to bet on Jason Candle, but they are showing that at home, they will lay the wood to teams. And this certainly feels like that kind of a spot. Give me Toledo. Best number I can get is minus 14. So I'll take the Rockets minus 14 at home.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? TicketSmarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo codes, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at TicketSmarter.
If you haven't already, go ahead, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and of course, jump in the comments. Give me your picks on these games. I want to know what you guys are doing as well. Onward to Thursday, we're out of MACtion. We are into Sun Belt competition. We got a rivalry game here, Georgia Southern going to App State. This one at 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. App is a 6.5-point favorite currently with a total of 62.5 on this. Georgia Southern won this game last year 29-20. Georgia Southern 0-4 against the spread on the road so far this year. App is only 1-2 against the spread at home. And yes, this is only their 4th home game. We're going to be in November. No, we're already in November. And this is only their 4th home game. Kind of surprising. We do have a couple of guards out for, well, questionable for App's offensive line. So I've got App favored by 1.6. I've got App with a stats projected spread of 3.82. Georgia Southern minus 2.27 in the last four, if you look at the last 4 weeks of stats. Again, Georgia Southern has been playing awful on the road. Just absolutely awful. 0-4 against the spread. But Georgia Southern does have a better strength of schedule, number 58. App is number 124 as far as that is concerned. Overall, App 4-4, straight up and against the spread. On the other side, Georgia Southern 3-5, straight up, 3-4-1 against the spread. Overall, App number 101 in five factors rank, Georgia Southern number 95. Georgia Southern's offense is number 36 in points per scoring opportunity. App's defense is number 95. So Georgia Southern is going to be able to score here, you would think, right? A turnover margin, they're pretty good. They don't. J.C. French, as much as I'm not a fan, he doesn't give the ball away a lot. They are number 77 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt, and App's defense is number 50 in interceptions gained per pass attempt defended. But for the most part, they don't turn the ball over. Georgia Southern number 39 in turnover margin. App is number 108. Looking at the App offense, number 116 in PPA per pass, number 65 in PPA per rush, but they only run the ball 42% of the time. They're better at running than they are at passing, and they pass the ball over 57% of the time. This Georgia Southern defense is terrible. Number 135 in defensive success rate allowed, number 126 against the pass, number 135 against the rush. App would be wise to run the ball more in this spot. I mean, they run it about 42% of the time, but they're number 56 in rushing success rate, number 30 in offensive line yards, number 18 in stuff rate. I would hope that Dowell Loggins will stick to the run a little more in this because he has a very clear advantage. They've also got an advantage throwing the football too. It's just they're not as good at doing that as they are at running the ball. They are number 51 in passing success rate, but number 83 in passing explosiveness, number 92 in havoc allowed, number 112 in passing downs rate, number 72 in passing downs PPA. I mean, just all kinds of things. They're number 88 in yards per pass attempt, number 89 in QBR, which is still a bit of an advantage over Georgia Southern's defense, but the Georgia Southern defense is so bad. I mean, just atrocious. Number 115 defensive line, and App is number 81 with their offensive line. Why not just run the football? And I think that Georgia Southern's going to be able to throw the football a little bit on them. I don't know if I can trust App State to run the ball here. Again, we talked about turnover margin. App is number 125 in giveaways per game. I mean, that is awful. They're number 108 in turnover margin, number 111 in penalties per game. Georgia Southern's number 45. Georgia Southern, again, 0-4 against the spread on the road, but App is only 1-2 against the spread at home. This is a rivalry game. They're going to be fired up for this. That number was 5.5, and it's jumped up to 6.5. I think that App is going to be fired up for this, but I can't get to 6.5. So I will take Georgia Southern to show up in a big-time rivalry spot. I think they hang around in this game. I think they're able to score a little bit, and I think that maybe some App turnovers and whatnot keep this one pretty close. Georgia Southern's had a lot of success against App here recently. Let's go with Clay. Let's go with Clay Helton and company to keep this thing close. I will take Georgia Southern plus 6.5. Over to the American Conference. Again, Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. South Florida hosting UTSA. And the Bulls right now a 13.5-point home favorite, total of 68.5 on this one. The last meeting between these two was in 2023, and UTSA just wiped the floor with them, 49-21 in that one. UTSA 0-3 against the spread in their last three on the road. They are 3-0 against the spread at home, so there's a huge differential between those two. But South Florida 4-0 against the spread at home this season. They put up a lot of points when they are playing at home. They are really, really good when they do that. Again, the spread here, 13.5. My projected stat spread has South Florida by 14.8. Power rating has South Florida by 11.2. And my last 4 weeks number has South Florida by 14.82. So, let's dive into some of the numbers. South Florida, number 14 in the country in PPA margin. UTSA is number 71 in PPA margin. Don't forget, UTSA coming off of a big-time win at home last week against Tulane. South Florida, they are ready for this one. They are ready. Still trying to wipe that bad taste of the Memphis game out of their mouth. Number 16 in five factors ranked for South Florida. Number 68 for UTSA. Number 38 first half point margin for South Florida. And number 28 for UTSA. But on the back half, number 111 for UTSA in second half point margin. Number 15 for South Florida. So South Florida figures out how to turn it on in the second half for sure. You start diving into this, the offense for South Florida should have quite a bit of success against this UTSA defense, and it could be any which direction, right? UTSA's defense is number 30 in defensive success allowed. The offense for South Florida is number 40 in success rate. However, they are number 42 in yards per pass attempt. The UTSA defense is number 107 in yards allowed per pass attempt. USF number 36 in QBR. UTSA's defense number 121 in QBR allowed. But when you look at passing success rate, South Florida number 88, UTSA number 66 on defense. So, we'll see. We will see. UTSA's defense as far as stopping the run, they are number 23 in rushing success allowed, but they're number 75 in yards allowed per rush. They're number 123 in rushing explosiveness allowed. South Florida is number 30 in rushing explosiveness, number 36 in rushing success rate, number 11 in yards per rush. They will have some explosives. As far as points per scoring opportunity, and a scoring opportunity is when you get a first down inside the opponent 40-yard line. South Florida is number 32 with 4.42 points per drive that gets down there. UTSA's defense is number 132, which will show you the defensive red zone conversion percentage for UTSA is number 124. They allow 93% conversion in the red zone. On the other side of the ball, when UTSA has the football, UTSA is number 59 in PPA per pass, but number 88 in yards per pass attempt. The USF defense is 63 in PPA allowed per pass, but number 43 in yards allowed per attempt. UTSA will try and throw the football. They could have some success, but this South Florida defense is pretty good there. UTSA is number 14 in yards per rush, but they're number 105 in rushing success rate. Now, that'll show you that they are number 2 in rushing explosiveness. Well, South Florida's defense is number 20 in rushing explosiveness allowed. They are number 27 in yards allowed per rush, number 8 in PPA allowed per rush. So they're going to be able to put the kibosh on UTSA running the football. UTSA is number 30 in points per scoring opportunity. South Florida is number 65. The only problem there is that UTSA is number 110 in scoring opportunities per game. Only 5 of their drives per game do they get a first down inside the opponent 40. South Florida is number 92 in scoring opportunities allowed per game. So this seems like it could be a big spread here. When you start looking at five factors, you know, number 16 to number 68, and the fact that UTSA is a completely different team on the road, same with South Florida being a completely different team for the better at home, I don't think this number is big enough. I will take South Florida at home minus 13.5. I think they handle this most likely in the second half, but I'm pretty confident that South Florida will be able to put up some points, and they will be able to slow down UTSA.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started. Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors, built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
Again, if you like the spreadsheets and you want to get these in your inbox every single week, you can do that. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. You can get all of these along with our matchup comparison tool, etc. Go ahead and check it out. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. And you can also do it at bettingcfb.com. Don't forget, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and jump in the comments. Let me know your picks on these games. Tell me if I'm crazy. Maybe I can't see the forest for the trees with some of them, but you guys jump in the comments and tell me. Onward to Friday, and we've got Big 12 action. This one, 7 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on FS1. Houston goes to Orlando to take on UCF. And my goodness, UCF is a 1.5-point favorite here. UCF, 3 straight wins against Houston, the most recent coming in 2023. That was a 27-13 win in Orlando. Houston 3-1 against the spread on the road. That's a Willie Fritz team for you. They are coming off of a loss at home against West Virginia, 45-35, and they just got blitzed in that one. The success rates would tell you that Houston should have won that football game. You give up 45 points, maybe not. Maybe not so much. UCF 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 at home. But I will tell you, they are 1-4 straight up in their last 5 games overall. This is an interesting spot. My stat spread has UCF favored by 0.12 points. My power rating has UCF by 1.3. The stats over the last 4 weeks would have Houston favored by 6.31. So let's take a look at this. The Houston offense has improved because they were in like the 130s for a while as far as PPA per drive, but they are number 106 in PPA per drive. The defense has fallen off, especially with what Rich Rod did to them last week, but still pretty good. Still pretty good. They are number 106 in PPA per drive on offense, number 49 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. UCF is interesting. Number 38 in PPA margin, Houston is number 87. And yet, you know, when you look at the overall record, Houston's 7-2 straight up. UCF is 4-4. UCF, number 46 in PPA per drive on offense, number 37 allowed on defense. UCF is number 100 in offensive success rate. They're number 46 in defensive success rate. They're not very good at stopping the run. Number 73 in rushing success allowed, number 23 in passing success allowed. Let's start with when UCF has the football. They are number 97 in yards per pass attempt, number 114 QBR, but they are number 3 in passing explosiveness. They're number 26 in PPA per rush, number 12 in yards per rush, number 1 in the country in rushing explosiveness. But Houston's defense is number 18 in rushing explosiveness allowed. They're number 36 in yards allowed per rush. And when it comes to pass defense, they are number 17 in pass success allowed. They are number 17 in passing explosiveness allowed. So they will do a pretty good job of wrangling this UCF offense, I do believe. UCF number 103 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Or sorry, not points allowed. Number 103 in points per scoring opportunity. Houston also number 103 in points per scoring opportunity. But UCF number 84 in scoring opportunities per game, that's getting a first down inside the opponent 40-yard line. And Houston is number 31 at allowing scoring opportunities per game. So, bit of an edge to the Houston defense so far. On the other side, UCF's defense, fantastic against the pass. I mean, number 16 in PPA allowed per pass, number 15 in yards allowed per pass attempt, number 32 in QBR. The only problem is Houston is actually fairly decent at these. Number 46 in PPA per pass, number 42 in yards per pass attempt, and number 39 in QBR, but they're number 109 in pass rate. They only throw the football a little over 42% of the time. They are number 110 in passing success. Okay, like I get it. Running the football, Houston not very good at all. They run the ball almost 58% of the time, over 57% of the time. Number 122 in rushing success rate. Yards per rush is 90. UCF's defense is 50 in that, and they are number 73 in rushing success allowed. When it comes to points per scoring opportunity, the UCF defense is number 32 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Houston's offense is number 88. So Houston can't finish drives. UCF can't finish drives. And you look at five factors rank, UCF 67, Houston 77. You look at the strength of schedule difference, and I think that's the biggest difference here. UCF is number 68, Houston number 98. Houston coming off a loss, short week. This is a bad spot, I think, for Houston to try and get things figured out. UCF minus 1.5. I know that the last 4 weeks I would have Houston favored. I think I'm going to go with UCF on this. I am going to go with UCF on this. You look at turnover margin. You look at penalties per game. Both of those, I'm swapping it up. I should have swapped it up to begin with. What am I thinking? Houston has been playing better than expectations basically all season. Again, Houston is 3-1 against the spread on the road. Yes, UCF plays better at home. However, Houston number 23 in giveaways per game. UCF is number 65 in that. Penalties per game, UCF is number 111, and Houston is number 35. Some of the intangibles here, special teams, Houston is better than UCF, number 70 in special teams efficiency, UCF number 96. And when it comes to head coaches, I will take Willie Fritz over Scott Frost any day of the week. So, bounce back spot for Houston. I know it's a short week. I know they got to go on the road. They didn't look good against West Virginia last week. I think Houston wins the football game. Give me Houston. Best number I can get, plus 1.5. I'll take Houston on the road. To the Big Ten on Friday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, of course, on Fox. Northwestern heads to USC. So they're going all the way across to the left coast there. USC favored by 14.5 at home, total of 51.5 to 52.5, depending on the book. Good gracious. Again, 14.5 is the number. USC is 3-1 against the spread at home so far this year. They played late Saturday on the road at Nebraska, got the win, didn't cover. Now they got a short week. Lincoln Riley has not been very excited about that. Northwestern is coming off of a bye. They are 1-1-1 against the spread on the road. Got a win at Penn State. Things did not go well for Penn State after that. I will certainly say that. But Northwestern looking pretty good. 5-3 straight up so far this year. USC is 6-2, still firmly in the playoff hunt as it stands. We'll see what that looks like when they got to go deal with Oregon and Washington and whatever else. But still, this is what we're looking at for Friday night. Again, 8 p.m. Central Time on Fox. USC is number 3 in the country in PPA margin, and that part of that is because they are fantastic on offense. Number 1 in PPA per drive, even still, after only putting up 21 against Nebraska last week. Northwestern, number 83 PPA per drive on offense, number 76 PPA per drive on defense. USC is number 1 on offense, number 39 on defense. Number 2 in offensive success rate. They are good at both running and throwing the football, even with their injuries to certain running backs. Northwestern is number 85 in defensive success allowed, number 39 against the pass, number 112 against the rush. And let's go on and start there. USC number 3 PPA per rush. They're number 9 in yards per rush. Northwestern's defense, number 124 in PPA allowed per rush, number 89 in yards allowed per rush, number 112 in rushing success allowed. USC is number 2. Offensive line yards, USC is number 4. Northwestern is number 130. USC is number 15 in stuff rate allowed. Northwestern is number 131 in stuff rate. You start actually looking at the offensive line against the defensive line. Northwestern's defensive line should be better. I've got them the number 35 position unit in the country. USC's offensive line, I've only got number 52 when it comes to like recruiting rankings, experience, etc. When you put all that stuff together, it's right there. So, what about when Northwestern has the football? Northwestern is number 56 in offensive success rate, number 28 passing success, number 37 rushing success. USC's defense is number 95 in defensive success allowed, number 46 against the pass, number 128 against the run. And that's interesting when you look at it, because that is on a play-to-play basis based on down and distance, etc. Northwestern, number 33 in yards per rush. USC is number 79 in yards per rush. Northwestern, not explosive, number 98 rushing explosiveness. USC's defense, number 8. Offensive line yards, both of these are outside the top 100. Northwestern's offense is 100. USC's defense is number 125 in offensive line yards allowed. Stuff rate, number 66 for USC, number 64 for Northwestern. And I don't think Northwestern's going to be able to do very much when it comes to passing the football. Number 111 in yards per pass attempt, number 119 in QBR. USC is number 76, number 82 in those. Passing success rate, though, Northwestern is number 28, and USC is number 46. So let's look at how both teams finish drives. USC is number 12 in points per scoring opportunity. Northwestern's defense is number 14 in points allowed. They are fantastic in the red zone. Number 69 in defensive red zone conversion percentage, but they are number 31 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. Only 52% of the time do they allow a touchdown in the red zone. USC is number 37 in offensive red zone touchdown rate, and they are number 17 in offensive red zone conversion percentage. I think USC is going to be able to score. Big-time talent advantage, number 17 for USC, number 60 for Northwestern. And with Northwestern's offense, they are number 132 in points per scoring opportunities, so they are not good at finishing drives. The USC defense is number 15. USC, pretty big advantage here overall. Number 25 in five factors rank, Northwestern number 70. First half point margin, USC number 11. Northwestern number 69, so USC kind of jumps on teams. Yeah, this thing was 15.5, and it came down to 14.5. I know about the spot. I know it's a short week after USC played the late game on the road, but it's Friday night in LA. Northwestern, I don't think they got the hosses to keep up here, and I don't think they're going to be able to score enough to be able to stay in this. They do have the number 35 current strength of schedule. USC number 69 in that. I still think USC is probably going to put up quite a few points here. I will take USC minus 14.5 because I don't think Northwestern is going to be able to score. So give me the Trojans. Minus, best number I can get, 14.5. Second straight day of American football, and this one is on Friday. Tulane at Memphis, 8 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Memphis currently a 6.5-point favorite, total of 55.5. That has come down from 7.5, which is what it was to start with. Memphis, 34-24 win in New Orleans last year as a 12.5-point dog. I mean, they looked good in that game, and that included a late touchdown by Tulane just to get it to a 10-point margin. They held Tulane to only 57 yards rushing last year. That was their lowest on the season. Memphis 4-0 against the spread at home. They are 8-1 against the spread overall. They have been covering numbers like crazy all year. Tulane only 1-3 against the spread on the road, and boy, did they look like hot garbage last week at UTSA. I mean, just a truth. Now, there is a potential that they were looking ahead to this week, or it could just be a thing where they don't look good on the road. I mean, they looked really bad at Ole Miss. They looked really bad even in a win at South Alabama. They did cover against Tulsa, but then last week, I mean, it was 24-6 at the half, I believe, against UTSA, and it did not get any better from there. Tulane was just bad last week. I will say that. Strength of schedule is interesting here. Memphis is number 126 in strength of schedule. Tulane number 48. Tulane has two wins over power conference teams, Northwestern and Duke. Both of those are probably going to be bowling. Memphis has a win over a power four conference team. And that would be the Arkansas Razorbacks, who have not won a game since they lost to Memphis. I think they're 2-7 straight up now, 2-6, something like that. But they've already fired their coach. It's just a whole thing. Memphis looked really good against South Florida a couple weeks ago, and then last week they went on the road to Rice and covered again. Did it just exactly what you would think. Power rating, I've got Memphis by 5. The last 4 weeks, I actually have Tulane favored by 6.39. Tulane did not cover against Army, even in a win, and they certainly didn't cover in that loss at UTSA last week. But Memphis, projected stat spread, I've got them by 8.5. I thought that was pretty wild. Pretty wild when you look at it. Tulane's defense, number 80 in PPA allowed per drive. They are number 103 in defensive success allowed. Memphis's offense is number 22, so we'll start on that side of the ball. Both of these teams are top 40 special teams efficiency units. The Memphis offense, number 62 in PPA per pass, number 42 in yards per pass attempt. Tulane's defense, 64th in PPA allowed per pass, number 107 in yards allowed per pass attempt. Memphis, number 31 in passing success. Tulane, number 91. The biggest issue for Tulane is this. Memphis runs the ball almost 54% of the time. They are number 20 in yards per rush, number 14 in rushing success rate. Tulane's defense is number 64 in yards allowed per rush and number 106 in rushing success allowed. Teams are running the ball on them almost at will. For Memphis, it's not so much about offensive line yards. It's not about stuff rate. It's that they are number 12 in rushing explosiveness, and Tulane is number 46 in rushing explosiveness allowed. When Tulane has the football, I don't think that they're necessarily going to have an advantage there either. They run the ball over 52% of the time. Memphis is number 18 in rushing success allowed. Tulane's offense is 74th. Memphis is number 53 in yards allowed per rush. Tulane, number 33. Memphis, number 19 in PPA allowed per rush. Tulane's offense, number 83. Tulane might be better served to throw the football a little more in this one. Number 44 in PPA per pass attempt. Memphis's defense is number 90. The only issue that you might run into is the fact that Memphis is number 20 in interceptions gained per pass attempt defended. Tulane, number 37 in interceptions thrown per pass. Memphis, number 10 in turnover margin. Tulane, number 58. Tulane, number 119 in penalties per game. Memphis, number 35. And you start looking at five factors, etc. Five factors rank Memphis, number 36. Tulane, number 41. I'm interested in this. Both teams pretty good in first half point margin. Tulane falls off in the second half. Number 92 in second half point margin. Memphis is number 4. Memphis opens it up in the second half. They have all year. So they're not exactly a first half covering team, but certainly look a whole lot better in the second half. This number, I mean, it was 7.5. It's dropped to 6.5. Memphis covers at home. They've been covering every number all year, no matter the competition. So I will take Memphis inside of Liberty, Simmons Bank, Liberty Stadium, whatever it's called now. It was the Liberty Bowl, but whatever. Liberty something stadium, give me Memphis minus 6.5. They'll keep a stranglehold on that AAC. All right, again, don't forget to check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. $5 a month, $50 for the year, and you support me doing this by myself. It's very, very helpful. It gets me the domains and whatnot that I need, all the hosting and whatnot that I need to be able to keep this stuff going. And it's just nice. It's nice. Subscribe to the channel. Like the video. Of course, share it out. Tell your friends about it. And don't forget about subscribing to the podcast as well. Leave a nice 5-star review. And now let's recap what we have got for our weeknight games. Akron, minus 10. Miami, Ohio, plus 3.5. Ball State, minus 2.5. Toledo, minus 14. Georgia Southern, plus 6.5. South Florida minus 13.5, Houston plus 1.5, USC minus 14.5, and Memphis minus 6.5. You guys are fantastic. We got another video coming tomorrow. Hopefully you are ready for that. That'll be the 10 biggest games of the season. Not of the season, the 10 biggest games of the week. And boy, did I have to really dig for some of these. It's a interesting week as far as television football games. Hopefully, Disney and YouTube TV come to terms, because that was a disaster last week. Let me know what you guys are using to watch, because I did the Sling Day Pass thing. Mixed reviews. Mixed reviews on that. So we'll see what it looks like this week. All right, jump in the comments. Let's get out of here. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully, all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment, follow @GaryWCE on X, and check out the web store.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.